Good.
Thanks.
We have two? Good. Okay, while you're getting up, can we turn it down just a little bit? Because I could almost do it without microphone. So turn it down. Okay, good. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. So now that you're having physical food, at the same time, we can have some spiritual food, okay? Now, the title of my lesson is Living by Faith. We're going to do a study from the book of Hebrews. Especially Hebrews 11. But I'm going to take about 10 minutes to introduce the book. The audience of the book of Hebrews is disciples who've been in the church for a long time. In Hebrews 10:32-35, he says, remember those earlier days. How you stood strong. How God blessed you. Some of you remember those earlier days, those glory days. But then in verse 35, he says, don't throw it away. These brothers and sisters, they were tired in their faith. Because the Christian race, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. The marathon is 26 miles long. Ah, 40 kilometers long. And they're on kilometer 25. And they lost sight of the finish line. So the purpose of Hebrews is so that we will make it. Those who have left Egypt, that have been in the desert for a long time, the purpose is so that we'd make it to the promised land. I'm guessing everybody here wants to make it to the promised land. Am I right about that? Well, then the book of Hebrews is for you. Now, let me give you the very short outline. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome. So keep walking by faith. That's the whole book of Hebrews. So now we can go home. Well, no, I filled in some detail. So the outline is like this. Jesus is amazing for this reason, and this reason, and this reason, and this reason. Therefore, this is what you should do. The key to making it to heaven is to look at Jesus. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 2, He's the beginning of our faith, and He's the completion of our faith. He showed us the way, and we already made it. He already made it. The tendency is to put your eyes on the world. No, no. Look at Jesus. In Hebrews 1, he says, Jesus is greater than the angels. The angels are just messengers. But Jesus is the message. He says in Hebrews 1:1 that Jesus is greater than all the prophets. And then he gives his first advice. His first advice is, pay attention. If you're in a class at school, the teacher says, pay attention. I think you'd wake up right away. If you want to make it to heaven, you have to pay attention, not get distracted. In chapter 2, he uses the analogy of a river. It's like in the Congo River. Let's say you're out in the middle of the Congo River. What happens? You go downstream. If you don't fix your eyes on Jesus, if you don't remember the promised land you're going toward, you'll be like a boat in that river. You're going downstream, but unless you look at the side of the river, you don't even know it. Unless you look at the side of the river, you don't realize you're going down the stream. So he says, tie yourself to Jesus like a boat tied to the wharf. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, Jesus is greater than Moses. Now remember, Jesus is like Moses, right? But in every way, he's greater than Moses. Moses gave them bread. But Jesus is the bread. And so basically, Jesus is much greater than Moses. And then he gives his second advice. In Hebrews 3 and verse 4. He says, make every effort. You know, you don't get into heaven by accident. You don't just sort of, you know, walk around like, you know, with nothing in mind. You don't end up in heaven. He says, remember the Israelites. Their bodies were scattered across the desert. He says, don't be like them. He says, don't rest. In this life, we have no rest. Our rest is in heaven. He says, that's when we'll rest. You know, right now is my vacation. But I'm not resting. I'm working. I'm not going to stop working. Not to be saved. I'm already saved, but I'm working hard. I'm working hard. I'm making every effort. But it's like a marathon race. Then he says more reasons why Jesus is awesome. In chapter 7, he says, Jesus is greater than the high priest. He gives many reasons. He says, Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. Oh, Melchizedek is much better than Aaron. Because Abraham gave a sacrifice to Melchizedek. And so Melchizedek is greater than the Jewish priests. This is all pretty deep, you know? And he says, Jesus is like Melchizedek. Because he's a priest according to his own righteousness. And he gives us our third advice. It's in Hebrews 5:11. If you want to make it to heaven, he says, you need to grow up. What if somebody told you, hey, grow up? How would you feel about that? Not so good. So you mean I'm like a child? How about you spiritually? Are you like a spiritual child? Because if you stay a child, you won't make it. He says, by now you should be teachers. Now you're Bible talk leaders, so you're already on the way. You're doing a good job. The writer of Hebrews is not trying to discourage you, he's trying to encourage you. But we need to deepen our knowledge of the Scriptures. How many of you have been a Christian for, let's say, 10 years? Raise your hand. For at least 10 years. Raise your hand.
More than 10 years.
Okay. So you're the mature Christians. So how well do you know the Bible? Let me give an example. The book of Hosea. What is the theme? What is the idea of the book of Hosea? You should know by now. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to encourage you, okay? So who here can tell me the theme of the book of Hosea? No, that's Haggai. Hosea.
Okay, reconquering Israel.
Nope. Hosea.
Hosea.
What's the theme?
C'est l'infidélité du peuple de Dieu.
Unfaithfulness of God's people.
Unfaithfulness of God's people.
Yes.
And
buying them back. Mal avec ça, yeah. Et il prend l'exemple de d'oser d'aller marier une prostituée pour voir comment il se sent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, et montrer son indignation à son peuple, comment il se sent lorsque on est fidèle à lui.
Okay, yeah. So it's about faithfulness of God's people and how God feels about it.
Yeah. The theme of Hosea is God's grace. It's God's love toward us, even though we don't deserve it. Hosea's wife became a prostitute. And he paid the prostitute's price to win her back. That's how much God loves us. He also says you need to grow up in overcoming sin. You need to overcome sin, and not that you'll be perfect. Then he tells us some more things that make Jesus amazing. He says, Jesus' covenant is so much greater than the old covenant. The old covenant was about physical things. And it's just like a shadow.
Et c'était juste une ombre.
He says the reality is in Christ.
La réalité est en Christ.
If you walked up to somebody,
si tu marches vers quelqu'un,
would you talk to their shadow?
Est-ce que tu vas parler à son ombre?
Wouldn't that be really strange?
Est-ce que ça ne sera pas étrange?
He says the old covenant is like a shadow. Look at Jesus. He's the real thing. Then he says, the sanctuary that Jesus is in is much greater than the sanctuary in Jerusalem. Compared to Jesus, the Jews' sanctuary is like a toy. It's like you visit a city, and there's like a model of the city. So you spend time looking at the model instead of looking at the city. Then he says, the sacrifices of Jesus are much better than the Jewish sacrifices. He says the blood of bulls and goats doesn't even remove sin. No, Jesus is a sacrifice once for all. And then he gives his final advice. That's Hebrews chapter 11. So let's read that advice. Hebrews 11, verse 1.
Hébreux 11, verset 1.
Let's read 1 through 3.
OK. Hébreux 11, verset 1 à 3.
Yeah.
Or, la foi est une ferme assurance des choses qu'on espère, une démonstration de celles qu'on ne voit pas. Pour l'avoir possédé, les anciens ont obtenu un témoignage favorable. C'est par la foi que nous reconnaissons que le monde a été formé par la parole de Dieu. Et en sorte que ce qu'on voit n'a pas été fait de choses visibles.
So his most important advice is to walk by faith.
Alors, ce qui est plus important, c'est marcher par la foi.
If you keep walking by faith, you're going to make it.
Parce que si tu marches par la foi, tu vas y arriver.
But he defines faith in this way.
Alors, il décrit la foi de cette façon.
He says, faith is confidence in things that you can't see. Think about it. Everything important is invisible. Everything unimportant is visible. Your physical appearance, does that matter? Not at all. The amount of money you have in the bank, does that matter? Not at all. Everything that's important is invisible. Now, what do we tend to look at? The visible or the invisible? See, that's our problem. We tend to look at the outer things, the visible things. You know, faith requires that you don't listen to what your senses tell you.
La foi demande que tu n'écoutes pas ce que tes sens.
What your senses, your eye and your hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your eyes, they lie to you. If you look at the news, does it appear that God is in control? Not at all.
No.
But by faith we know that his God is in control. I'm 62 years old. Does it look like my body's getting better and better all the time? Not really. But the Bible says, inwardly I'm being renewed every single day. But you can't see that.
Mais on voit pas ça.
We have to learn to look at the things that are unseen.
On doit apprendre à voir les choses qui ne sont pas.
Success.
Le succès.
That's something you can see.
C'est quelque chose qu'on peut voir.
I want success.
Je veux le succès.
I want to see people baptized.
Je veux voir les gens baptisés.
I want to see people doing well.
Je veux voir les gens aller bien dans leur foi.
But that's something you can see.
Ça, c'est des choses qu'on peut voir.
In one way, success is the enemy of faith.
D'une façon, le succès, c'est l'ennemi de la foi.
Don't rely on success.
Ne dépend pas sur le succès.
The church might go through a time when it's having no success.
L'église peut passer des moments difficiles où il n'y a pas de réussite.
But in Christ, we're always successful.
Mais en Christ, on réussit toujours.
Even if you baptize nobody in your whole life.
Même si tu as baptisé personne pendant toute ta vie.
If you put your faith in God, you're still successful. Now, I want to be successful just like you do, of course. And God wants us to be successful. But don't rely on success. Because that's something outward. He says something interesting. He says, by faith we know that the visible things we're created out of something that's invisible.
Par la foi, on sait que les choses visibles ont été créées par des choses invisibles.
It's true.
C'est vrai.
Even science tells us this.
Même la science nous le dit.
They call it the Big Bang.
Ils appellent ça le Big Bang.
According to science, there was nothing.
La science dit qu'il n'y avait rien.
And then an instant, the entire universe came to exist out of nothing.
Et après, directement, l'univers s'est créé.
Well, technically, that's not true.
Techniquement, ce n'est pas vrai.
Because God made the universe.
Parce que Dieu a fait l'univers.
Everything that's visible was made from a God who's not visible.
Parce que tout ce qui est visible a été créé par un Dieu qui est invisible.
So what's the message?
Voilà.
The visible things are of no value.
Les choses qui sont visibles n'ont pas de valeur.
Compared to the invisible things.
Comparé aux choses invisibles.
And he says, these men and women that he's describing here, they were commended.
Ils ont été applaudis.
They were praised.
Ils ont été loués.
Why is that?
Pourquoi?
These men and women of faith,
les hommes et femmes de foi,
they looked at the things of the world.
Ils ont regardé les choses du monde.
And they said, worthless.
Ils ont dit, ça n'a pas de valeur.
They put all their trust, all their faith, on God's promises. That's Abraham. And that's Moses. We'll see that. But think about it. We have so much more reason than they did. Because we know about Jesus. They didn't even know who Jesus was. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the promises fulfilled. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. Surely, we can walk by faith. I like what Paul says. In Philippians 3, 4 through 9.
Dans Philippiens 3, 4 à 9.
He says, I was the Jew above all Jews.
J'étais le Juif parmi tous les Juifs.
I was from the tribe of Benjamin.
J'étais de la tribu de Benjamin.
I was a Pharisee.
J'étais pharisien.
When it comes to righteousness, faultless.
Quand on parle de la droiture, je n'ai pas de faute.
I was a student of Gamaliel. The most zealous of all the Jews. His spiritual resume was the very best of all the Jews. From the outward perspective, he's awesome. But what does he say in Philippians 2? Garbage. All that stuff is garbage. It didn't get me to heaven. It didn't save me. He says the only thing that matters is knowing Jesus. But you can't see that relationship. You can't see heaven. You can't see the Holy Spirit. But those are the important things. I would use Daniel chapter 3 as an example, but I talked about that. Was that yesterday? Instead, I'm going to use my friend Cuc Hong. He's Vietnamese, Cuc Hong. He leads our church in Vietnam. They're planning on planting a church in Hanoi. It's difficult in Vietnam because the church is completely illegal. They never bring visitors to church because they could be thrown in jail. Cuc Hong had been kicked out of his house 3 different times because of sharing his faith. 1 week before they're going to leave for Hanoi, a man breaks into their apartment and beats Cuc Hong. Bloody and bruised right in front of his wife and children. It's not looking too good. Seems like a bad idea to go to Hanoi. But the next week, he went anyway. Still with bruises on his face. They come to Hanoi the very first week. A policeman at his door. It's not looking good, folks. It's looking like a bad start. The policeman says to him, "Did you come here to plant a church?" Cuc Hong said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Are you the group who teaches you have to be a disciple, you have to give up everything in order to become a Christian?" Cuc Hong says, "Yeah, that's us." And he said, "Well, I want to study the Bible." And he was the first baptism in Hanoi. Don't look at the outward appearance. That's the message. So let's look at some of these men and women who live by faith. Let's read verse 4. We'll be in Hebrews the rest of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, verse 4.
Okay. Hébreux 11, verset 4. C'est par la foi qu'Abel offrit à Dieu un sacrifice plus excellent que celui de Caïn. C'est par elle qu'il fut déclaré juste. Dieu approuvant ses offrandes, et c'est par elle qu'il parle encore, quoique mort.
We don't know a lot about Abel, to be honest with you.
Nous ne savons pas beaucoup de Abel.
What we know is he gave a better sacrifice. By faith, he gave a better sacrifice. And we're still talking about his faith. I don't know about you, but when I die, I hope what they remember about me is my faith.
J'espère pour ceux qu'on va se rappeler de moi sera ma foi.
Hope they say, well, that brother, he had faith.
Ils vont dire, oh, ce frère, il avait la foi.
And then there's Enoch.
Et à Enoch.
Enoch was so faithful.
Il était tellement fidèle.
He walked with God.
Il a marché avec Dieu.
And God took him away.
Et que Dieu l'a pris.
And he says, without faith, you cannot please God.
Et Dieu dit, sans la foi, vous pouvez pas le plaire.
And in order to please God, you need to believe he exists.
Et pour plaire à Dieu, il faut croire qu'il existe.
Well, that's not hard.
Ça, c'est pas dur.
But you also need to believe that he rewards those who are faithful to him.
Et aussi, croire, va récompenser ceux qui restent, fidèles.
Do you believe that if you fully relied only on him,
est-ce que vous croyez aussi, vous dépendez seulement sur Dieu,
not on your education,
pas sur votre éducation,
not on your good looks.
Pas sur votre apparence physique.
I'm not tempted in that way.
Parce que moi, je ne suis pas tenté de cette façon. Je suis pas très beau. Oui.
That's supposed to be funny.
Bon, c'est supposé être une blague.
Not on your good looks.
Pas sur ta beauté.
Not on your job.
Pas sur ton travail.
Not on the church.
Pas sur l'église.
If you fully relied on him,
si tu dépends 100% sur lui,
that he would reward you.
Il va te récompenser.
Even if he asked you to give up your most treasured possession.
Même si tu demandes d'abandonner ce que tu chéris le plus.
That he'd replace it with something better.
Pour le remplacer avec quelque chose de mieux.
Well, then you'll be like Enoch.
Alors tu seras comme Enoch.
And then he talks about Noah. Let's read about Noah. Verse 7. Verse 7, yeah.
C'est par la foi que Noé, divinement averti des choses qu'on ne voyait pas encore, et saisi d'une crainte respectueuse, construisit une arche pour sauver sa famille. C'est par elle qu'il condamna le monde et devint héritier de la justice qui s'obtient par la foi.
Notice what he says. Noah believed in things that had never been seen. That's the theme throughout this chapter. Believing in things that had never been seen. So God says to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And Noah says, what's an ark? I've never seen one of those. Well, it's a boat. Well, what's a boat? Well, it's a thing that you build for going on top of the water. What water? There's going to be a flood. What's a flood? It's when it rains. It just keeps raining and raining and raining, and the water comes up very high. Noah says, okay, if you say so. So how big does this boat need to be? 100 meters long. Why such a big boat? Because of the animals. What animals? The ones that are going to come. Why are they going to come? I'm going to make them come. If you say so. So when are these animals going to come? 100 years from now. Would you have built that ark? Noah believed in things that had never been seen before. You believe there could be a church of 20,000 disciples in Kinshasa? Nobody's ever seen it before. Well, do you live by faith or by sight? So Noah went home. I would have liked to be there when he talked to his wife. I think it happened something like this. He says, wife, we don't know her name, we just call her wife. We're going to build an ark. He says, what's an ark? Well, it's a boat. What's a boat? Well, you know, it's this thing that you use for going on the water. What water? From the flood. What's a flood? Well, you know, it rains. It just keeps raining and raining and raining. And everything's going to get covered with water. And Noah's wife says, what have you been drinking? No. I've been talking to God. Which God? The one you can't see. All the other gods you could see, but this God you can't see. How big is this boat going to be? 100 meters long. You get the idea, right? Noah had so much faith, he talked his wife into supporting him on this project. Now we're about 30 years into the project. His neighbors, they're laughing at Noah. This guy's crazy. What are you building that thing for? For the flood. What flood? I've never seen a flood. Oh, it's coming. Why such a big boat? You get the idea, right? See, if you are going to walk by faith, your neighbors might think you're a little strange. Because everything they think is important, it really doesn't affect you very much. You get threatened with being fired by your boss for sharing your faith. And you say, well, that'd be pretty good. That happened to me. I was going to be fired for sharing my faith. So am I supposed to get worried about that? Now, in some ways, of course, as a husband and father, I'd have some concern there, obviously. But faith involves things that you can't see. Do you believe God has something better for you? Maybe you've been single for 10, 15 years. Maybe God will have you never even get married. Do you believe He has something even better in mind for you? A mission even more fulfilling than that? Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a mission that He's preparing for you, a ministry? I remember about 20 years ago, I decided I'm going to commit my energy, my time to becoming a teacher and teaching. I would have never conceived that I'd be here in Congo, encouraging the saints. You all weren't even Christians yet. You weren't even disciples yet. And notice this. Noah preached for 100 years. Conversions? Zero. But he just kept preaching. For us, our Bible talk hasn't seen a baptism for a couple of years. We're thinking, man, God's not with me anymore.
certaines années, on pense que Dieu ne sera plus.
I want to have a baptism just as much as you do.
Je voudrais un baptême aussi beaucoup que vous.
But where do you put your faith?
Où est-ce que vous mettez votre foi?
So Noah never saw anybody converted, essentially.
Noé n'a jamais vu des gens se convertir.
But how many have been saved because of Noah's faith?
Mais combien de gens ont été sauvés à cause de la foi de Noé?
Well, actually, the whole world. If it weren't for his faith, you wouldn't even be here. Then he talks about Abraham's faith. Let's read 8 through 12.
Verset 8 à 12.
Yeah.
C'est par la foi qu'Abraham, lors de sa vocation, obéit et partit pour un lieu qu'il devait recevoir en héritage, et qu'il partit sans savoir où il allait. C'est par la foi qu'il vint s'établir dans la terre promise comme une terre étrangère, habitant sous des tentes, ainsi qu'Isaac et Jacob, les co-héritiers de la même promesse. Car il attendait la cité qui a les solides fondements, celle dont Dieu est l'architecte et le constructeur.
Through 12.
Okay. C'est par la foi que Sarah elle-même, avec son âge avancé, fut rendue capable d'avoir une postérité, parce qu'elle crut à la fidélité de celui qui avait fait la promesse. C'est pourquoi d'un seul homme, déjà usé de corps, naquit une postérité nombreuse comme les étoiles du ciel, comme le sable qui est sur le bord de la mer et qu'on ne peut compter.
Abraham believed in things that had never been seen before. God says to Abraham, pack your things and leave the city of Ur. I'm sure Abraham asked him where he's going. God says, I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Because if you know where you're going, that doesn't require any faith. You know, you have a plan for your life, right? There's nothing wrong with having a plan for your life. That's a good idea. But be prepared for God to change that plan. You think you're going to go over here? God's going to send you over there. And wherever he sends you, it'll be better than where you wanted to go. So God says, no, 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 no. You leave first. You leave the city. And then I'll tell you where you're going. Well, north, south, east, west, which way?
North, west, east, sud.
Any way you want. All right, when am I coming back? Never. By faith, Abraham left the city of Ur. I would have liked to have been there when he went and talked to Sarah. Says, Sarah, I got some good news. We're going to go on a trip. We're going to go on a vacation. She says, great. Where are we going? I don't know. When are we coming back? Never. It took a lot of faith for Sarah to trust Abraham on that one. We need to follow the footsteps of Abraham out of Ur. In fact, if you're a Christian, you already did. You saw that plow. You put your hand to that plow. You're still walking forward. You're not looking back. Abraham could have gone back anytime. His old life was waiting for him. But instead, he lived in a tent for the rest of his life. wandering around in the promised land,
en train de marcher autour dans la terre promise,
which is like a picture of heaven.
C'est comme une image de du paradis.
It's like he was already in heaven.
C'est comme s'il était déjà au paradis.
But not really.
Mais pas vraiment.
It didn't look that way.
Mais ça n'avait pas l'apparence qu'on était au paradis.
The same with us. We're in the kingdom. The kingdom is like a picture of heaven. But the honest truth, it doesn't look like it very much sometimes. Now it says in Hebrews, in Romans 2, that Abraham believed God. Romans, it's actually chapter 4.
Romans 4.
Okay, donc Romains 4, il est écrit que Abraham a cru à Dieu.
And it was credited as righteousness.
Et ça a été attribué comme la vertu.
Well, what did Abraham believe?
Qu'est-ce que Abraham a cru?
He believed if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Que si Dieu dit que ça va se passer, ça va se passer.
So God says,
alors Dieu dit,
you might be over 90 years old, but I'm going to give you a son. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. The whole world will be blessed through you. Abraham looked at himself. Maybe 95 years old. Said, yeah, I still have it. Then he looked at Sarah, more than 80 years old. She never had children, even when she was fertile. Menopause, more than 30 years ago. It's not looking too good. But Abraham believed. And he became the father of many nations. The father of the Arabs. The Edomites. And the Jews. And his children are like the grains of sand in the ocean. The stars in the sky. Here's one of his children. Here's one of his children. Here's one of his children. Let's read a little bit more about Abraham. We're going to read verses 17 through 19.
Versets 17 à 19. C'est par la foi qu'Abraham offrit Isaac lorsqu'il fut mis à l'épreuve et qu'il offrit son fils unique, lui qui avait reçu les promesses, à qui lui avait été dit, en Isaac sera nommé pour toi une postérité. Il pensait que Dieu est puissant, même pour ressusciter les morts. Aussi le retrouvera-t-il par une sorte de résurrection.
Yeah. Abraham had amazing faith. No wonder God chose Abraham to be the father of faith. The three greatest of faith in the Bible, in my opinion, Noah, Abraham, and Mary. Imagine Mary's faith. She believed in something that hadn't been seen either, right? Says, you're going to be pregnant and give birth to a son. I love what Mary said to the angel. She said, it is as you say. Mary walked by faith. But by faith, Abraham left Ur. And by faith, he went to Moriah. We already know about that. That was in our earlier lesson. Ur is where you leave behind your past life. Moriah is where you sacrifice the blessings that God gave you. See, God promised Abraham that his son would be the father of many nations. And then God commanded him to kill that son. The promise and the command seem to be opposite. Abraham thought about it. He says, God's always been faithful. He says to kill my son, but also that my son would make me the father of many nations. He could only think of one possibility. That after he killed his son, he'd be raised from the dead. Had anybody ever seen that happen before? And yet Abraham went to Mount Moriah. And like it says in verse 19, figuratively, he received his son back from the dead. Will you lay even your family on the altar? Will you let God take your spouse from you if he thinks it's the right thing? What are those things he may ask you to let go? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's nothing, I don't know. But here's what I know for sure. That what he replaces it with is better than what you had. Now let's read verse 13 through 16.
C'est dans la foi qu'ils sont tous morts, sans avoir obtenu les choses promises, mais ils les ont vus et salués de loin, reconnaissant qu'il était étranger et voyageur sur la terre. Ceux qui parlent ainsi montrent qu'ils cherchent une patrie. S'ils avaient eu en vue celle d'où ils étaient sortis, ils auraient eu le temps d'y retourner.
13 through 16.
Mais maintenant, ils en désirent une meilleure, c'est-à-dire une céleste. C'est pourquoi Dieu n'a pas honte d'être appelé leur Dieu, car il leur a préparé une cité.
These are the key verses in Hebrews 11. Maybe even the key verses in the entire book of Hebrews.
It
says all these men and women, they were still walking by faith when they died. And God's bringing them into the promised land. You want to make it to heaven, right? Here's the key. Just keep walking. Just keep walking by faith. Just keep believing God's promises. If you keep walking by faith till the day you die, you'll be ushered into an eternal home with Him. Really, it's as simple as that. Says they kept walking. And God is honored to call them His people. And they saw these things from a distance. We're much closer. We have the prophecies fulfilled. We have Jesus who died on the cross. They had none of that. Surely you could walk by faith. If you know Jesus, Jesus said about John the Baptist, He said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. You're greater than John the Baptist. Me? Yeah. Because you have the Spirit living in you. And you've received the promises. Says, these men and women, they walked by faith, even and they were living in a place that was only a picture of the future. What they only hoped for, we have. It says that they accepted the situation.
Ils avaient accepté la situation.
That they are strangers.
Ils sont juste des
aliens, étrangers. Aliens, foreigners.
Ils sont des étrangers,
not immigrants.
Oui, ils sont des étrangers, ils ne sont pas de cette terre.
If you're an immigrant to a country,
si tu es immigré de cette, dans un pays,
let's say we have somebody from Congo who goes to America, an immigrant. Then they try to fit in.
Alors, ce qu'ils essaient, c'est de pouvoir se conformer.
They try to become an American.
Ils essaient de devenir américain.
But as Christians, we're perpetual aliens.
Mais comme chrétiens, nous sommes toujours des étrangers.
This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Ce monde n'est pas notre citoyenneté et au paradis.
Now, how many of you prefer to kind of fit in with the crowd?
Combien d'entre vous préfèrent se conformer au, à la foule?
Just be honest about it.
Soyons honnêtes.
How many of you prefer to kind of fit in with the crowd?
Combien de nous préférons être avec la foule, se conformer à la foule?
Nobody's raising their hands?
Personne ne lève la main.
It seems like all the men are wearing shirts. None of them are wearing dresses. All the women have longer hair, all the men have shorter hair. So you want to claim that you don't want to fit in? All of us want to fit in. We don't want to be really bizarre and weird and strange.
Oui, on ne veut pas être vraiment étrange, bizarre.
Bizarre, there you go. But our strangeness is not the clothes that we wear.
Mais nous, le fait d'être étrange, ce n'est pas les habits qu'on porte.
Our strangeness is not the food that we eat or even the music we listen to.
La nourriture qu'on mange ou bien la musique.
Our strangeness is a life.
Notre vie.
A life that follows Matthew chapter 5.
Une vie qui suit Matthieu 5.
We believe the way to be great is to be humble.
On croit que la façon d'être grand, c'est d'être humble.
The way to be rich is to be poor.
La façon d'être riche, c'est d'être pauvre.
The way to happiness is through mourning.
La façon d'être content, c'est triste.
And the world,
et le monde,
even the Christian world,
même le monde chrétien,
thinks we're crazy.
Pense que nous sommes fous.
And we say, amen.
On dit amen.
Thank you for noticing that.
Merci que vous avez remarqué.
If you want to fit in,
si tu veux te conformer,
you can go back to the world.
Tu peux rentrer au monde.
I have a passport,
j'ai un passeport,
and it says I'm an American citizen.
Je suis citoyen américain.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Ils savent pas de quoi ils
parlent. Oh, I admit it.
Oui, je l'admets.
When the Olympics happen,
quand les Jeux Olympiques,
I root for America.
Je soutiens l'Amérique.
Because I want to fit in.
Parce que je voudrais me conformer.
But that's not my citizenship.
Mais ça, c'est pas ma citoyenneté.
I'm a citizen of a very unusual land.
Je suis citoyen d'une terre pas comme les autres.
It's a country you can't even see. The Christian life, it's kind of like living on a bridge.
La vie chrétienne, c'est comme vivre sur un pont.
We already left that life.
Vous avez déjà quitté votre vie.
But we've not arrived at the future life.
Mais vous n'êtes pas encore arrivé à la vie future.
And when you're on a bridge, you don't put down deep roots.
Et mais quand tu es sur le pont, tu ne mets pas des racines profondes.
Because a bridge is not a home.
Parce que le pont, ce n'est pas un foyer.
It's like a place of transition from one to another.
C'est juste une place de transit, hein, d'un endroit à un autre.
And God says,
et Dieu dit,
because they were looking to heaven instead of this world,
parce que c'était focalisé sur le paradis au lieu de cette terre,
says God is not ashamed of them.
Dieu n'a pas honte d'eux.
And he has a better city for them.
Et il a une meilleure cité pour eux.
You know the city I'm talking about. A couple more examples. Let me look at them just very, very briefly. He talks about Moses. Let me see. Where is it? Let's read Hebrews 11.
Verse 27.
I already talked about Moses a bit in the earlier lesson. He was in the palace. The chosen son of Pharaoh. He had the best food. The best clothes. The best educational opportunities. Every girl wanted to go on a date with Moses. But what's it say here? It says, he saw him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God. And because of faith in that God, Moses walked out of that palace. And he never came back. And he lived the rest of his life as if he were a slave. And because of his faith, he saved Israel from slavery. And figuratively, he saved us from slavery as well. My last example is Joshua.
C'est par la foi que les murailles de Jéricho tombèrent après qu'on eut fait le tour pendant 7 jours.
God said to Joshua,
Dieu a dit à Josué,
you're going to take Jericho.
Tu vas conquérir Jéricho.
Joshua says, great.
Josué a dit, fantastique.
Tell me the battle plan.
Okay, dis-moi le plan de guerre.
Here's the plan. Leave your weapons behind in the camp and march around the city. Do that for 7 days. Then on the 7th day, march around 7 times. Blow the trumpets. And the walls will fall down. And Joshua says to God, ha, 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 ha. Tell me the real plan. No, that's the real plan. Because victory is the Lord's. You can't rely on horses and all kinds of armor and numbers. So Joshua goes back and says to the people, I've got great news. God told me we're going to conquer Jericho. They said, great. What's the plan? Well, Here's the plan.
Voici le plan.
We're going to walk around the city.
Nous allons marcher autour de la ville.
Blow the trumpets and the walls are going to fall.
Sonnez la trompette et après le mur va tomber.
Tell us the real plan. No, that's the real plan. Because faith requires believing in things you've never seen. Literally. They walked around that city by faith. That's you. The people in the city were laughing at them. Are they supposed to make us afraid? Is that their way of intimidating us, walking around the city? Oh, look at those foolish Jews! But you know, the trumpet blew.
Et après, la trompette a sonné.
The walls came down.
Les murs sont tombés.
Who's laughing now?
Et maintenant, qui est en train de rigoler?
God gave him the victory.
Et Dieu les a donné la victoire.
And then he tells them about Gideon. And Jephthah.
Et Jephthah.
And many others.
Et encore plus d'autres.
They were tortured.
Ils étaient torturés.
They were flogged.
Ils étaient chicotés.
People jeered at them.
On les a fait bouquer à deux.
Some were put to death. Some were killed by the sword. Some wore rags. But what does it say about these men and women? The world was not worthy of them. God sees them as so much greater than the world. He says, God praised them for their faith.
Dieu les a loués pour leur foi.
But none of them received the promise.
Mais aucun d'eux n'a reçu la promesse.
We have the promise.
Nous avons la promesse.
We've received the promise.
Nous avons reçu la promesse.
It's almost like the writer of Hebrews is trying to shame us a little bit.
C'est un peu comme l'écrivain de Hébreux veut qu'on ait honte.
If Israel could believe,
si Israël a pu croire,
surely you could believe.
Sûrement vous pouvez croire.
And he said, together with them,
il dit, ensemble avec eux,
if we keep walking by faith,
si nous continuons à marcher par la foi,
God will give us a better home.
Dieu va nous donner un meilleur foyer.
A more perfect home.
Un meilleur foyer.
So let me leave you with this message.
Je veux vous laisser avec ce message.
Brothers and sisters,
mes frères et sœurs,
let us not look at the outer things.
Ne regardons pas les choses externes.
Let us look at the invisible things.
Regardons les choses invisibles.
Let us walk by faith.
Marchons par la foi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Est-ce qu'on peut mettre la main pour plus fort? Wow.